We have the former Army intelligence analyst, activist, whistleblower, now security consultant, Chelsea Manning joins us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First, let's get a check on our winter member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Your support, it is the foundation of funding for WPR programs. And in fact, it is the largest piece. It's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for these great conversations. And that's why someone by the name of Rob Ferret is in the morning house. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Kate. Good to be with you. I'm hoping we can encourage everyone to make a gift. You can make your gift now in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We heard from 8 new and returning members in the last hour. Thank you so much for those gifts. Here, though, is an exciting opportunity. When 300 people make a donation today, through the day now, $20,000 will be secured for WPR programs from a group of generous members.
Wow, that's awesome. And this is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So let's meet this challenge. Your gift, any amount now, makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is committed to quality. That's why we've been around for more than 100 years. And since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for WPR programs, that quality is all possible thanks to you.
That's right. Your contribution, it makes the morning show possible, makes so many others as well, including Central Time. So when you
give,
what's that? When you give, you're part of the quality you hear every day in WPR. Make a difference now with your gift, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You are listening. You're part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners. Whether you've been listening for years or even just a few months, you can become part of our community of members, people who support the programs they value.
And look, if you've never given before, start with a gift of $120, or better yet, make that an ongoing monthly gift of $10 a month. Your contribution, any amount right now, makes you a member. And because the largest piece of our funding comes from members, you'll really make a difference. It all starts with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've been a public radio listener for as long as it's been around. It's a long time. Public radio for me is pretty much the only kind of radio that that I would choose to listen to. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
Join Penny. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with my colleague Rob Ferret, and your support during this winter member drive, it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And so your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
Giving to WPR is easy. It just takes a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say 10 bucks a month.
And that donation, it comes back to you every day, every single day, in the form of engaging programs, engaging talk conversations. So show your support, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and give as generously as you can.
Get this member challenge off to a great start through the day today. When 300 people make a gift for Wisconsin Public Radio, we'll get $20,000 from generous members. So you can help us do that. You can help us meet that super important challenge right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I was about to cut you off there, Rob.
That's okay.
The most
You're excited.
Important. And you can ask.
I'm excited.
You can ask for your 2022 WPR mug when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Cheryl in Eau Claire says, I listen to WPR every morning before I start teaching. I live in Norway, and this brings me closer to my family in Wisconsin.
Wow.
Glad we're reaching you in Norway, Cheryl. Whether you are near or far, join Cheryl in supporting the radio you count on with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now to the life journey of Chelsea Manning, bursting into notoriety a dozen years ago, disclosing national security secrets as an Army intelligence analyst in Iraq. She shared more than 700,000 classified and sensitive military documents published on WikiLeaks, thought to be the largest single classified data leak in U.S. history, received the longest prison sentence of any whistleblower in history, 35 years, serving seven. And today, Chelsea Manning speaks out about transparency activism and the need for expanded transgender rights. Speaking this evening, by the way, at UW-Madison, Chelsea Manning, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Good morning. As you see liberal democracy teetering on the edge, more fragile than we perhaps have ever imagined, what role do whistleblowers or information leakers have in our world today?
That's a good question. It was really more, in my opinion, it was more of part of the precursors towards where we are today. It definitely is more vital in drawing attention to the situation before people realize things are teetering on the edge. So it's for a different time. Today you're probably not going to see these kinds of things quite happening as frequently or be needed quite as much because we no longer have an awareness problem. Now we have what do we do in terms of what we do with that information now that it's already out there, now that we're aware of it. So that's basically what I do now instead of raising awareness or discussing things, I try to encourage people to, get out there and figure out we have many problems with our society. Whenever we do know about them, then what? It's more of the aftermath that I'm
shifting the
on.
Focus, if you will, to
exactly.
So what these documents say now, what do we do with that? How do we sit with that is what you're saying.
Right, exactly. So, now that we know, now that we sort of know and we've sort of experienced many of the different problems that we've had, not just with, I have a lot wider focus than just, sort of the military and the stuff from a dozen years ago. That was these were very much a discussion and very much of their time. Mm-hmm. Now we have, issues issues with the climate, issues with issues with sort of the supply chain, COVID. It's a very different era now. About 30% of U.S. adults now are living in an environment where they're mostly on their computer now or on their phones, just for work and not no longer commuting as much because of the sort of shift towards the digital focus with
work from home.
Exactly. So, how do we live in this environment that is awash in information? There's not as much secrecy now. There's not as much, now everything is out there. Everything is, and we're just sort of awash in it. How do we navigate this environment? How do we live in a world in which all of our information is collected, all of our information is sifted through, all of our information is, like the Zoom call, we're going through so many different layers of communications apparatus and every single step of that process is owned and operated by somebody else, the internet service provider, the Zoom itself,
the platform.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So given the privacy tools that exist today, given the level of state-sponsored surveillance in the world and here in the U.S., your knowledge of the dark web, would your 2010 leak have been traceable to you by today's standards?
It probably wouldn't have been necessary by today's standards. I think that the issue is that now we're so awash in phones and electronic information and things like we get real time data, because it used to be that, whenever an event would happen, it might end up on the evening news, 10, 15, 20 years ago, it might end up on the evening news.
60 but now, minutes.
But now it trends on Twitter within sometimes minutes.
People who leak classified documents like you did and put other people in peril can be accused of being traitors, as being destabilizers, as being troublemakers, might be even a kind word. How do you feel about those labels?
I think that those labels get, you know, they sort of get misused. They get thrown around a lot. You know, I mean, we certainly saw this under the Trump administration, where every single person who criticized, you know, the Trump administration was deemed a traitor. And you also see this just sort of in the political discourse now. There's just sort of how toxic a lot of this stuff has become. And I think that the use of these labels that are really misused and thrown around a lot, they become devalued the more that you use them. I think that's kind of what we've seen happen over the last decade, over the last, you know, 12 or so years, is that it's really used to sort of it's used as an ad hominem attack on people who are critical of existing structures of power or personalities in the case of the previous administration.
We have security consultant Chelsea Manning burst out on the world stage a dozen years ago, as we've been talking about, Army Private leaking hundreds of thousands of government documents published by Julian Assange, founder of WikiLeaks. When is it acceptable to expose state secrets? What do you think of the dark web and threats to online privacy today? 800-642-1234. There's more conversation ahead with Chelsea Manning here on the Ideas Network. We're in conversation with activist and whistleblower Chelsea Manning on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's take a moment to check in on our winter member drive. I'm here with Rob Ferret, and we're here to say that your support is an essential piece of the funding for The Morning Show and all the programs you enjoy on WPR. And in fact, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. And this drive, this is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today is a great day to take action. You can make an even greater impact when you and 299 of your fellow listeners make a gift for the programs you count on. You'll help secure $20,000 for Wisconsin Public Radio from a group of generous members.
And look, it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting the WPR programs that inform you, that inspire you, and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Your participation now really makes a difference. Be one of the 300 people to meet that challenge. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On The Morning Show, and really all day long on the Ideas Network, you hear multiple sides of an issue, so you can make up your own mind. And together, we keep up with the issues of the day. We also have some fun, we follow our curiosity, and we learn.
There's really nothing else like this on the radio. It's something special. Your support is a vital part of what makes it possible. It's the biggest piece of our funding. Give now during our winter member drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the radio programs you count on.
You probably pay your bills online or some of them. Support WPR in that same streamlined fashion by becoming a sustainer.
You choose a monthly amount that works for you, say $10 or $20, and you set up automatic ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's easy to get started, and your support of WPR will always be current.
WPR gets you through the day, kind of like a cup of coffee. This member drive asks for the new WPR mug when you give $10 a month. Your WPR pride will be on display with every sip. This white ceramic mug features a navy design that showcases two Wisconsin favorites, nature and WPR. Ask for yours when you give $10 a month. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Rob Ferret, and your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio, it keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether you set it at $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
However you choose to give, massive thank you. Your support is powerful. And today there's still something more you could do to help. Encourage a friend to join the Wisconsin Public Radio community.
Yes, spread the love. Tell your friends, tell your family that you support WPR, and you perhaps might inspire them to do the same at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our member challenge is still in effect. It's just getting rolling. When 300 people make a gift for WPR, we'll get $20,000 from generous members. That's going to support the WPR programs that keep you informed and inspired.
Don't forget an eye-catching mug this drive. Enjoy your favorite hot beverage, your tea, in the 2022 WPR mug featuring sunbeams over a Wisconsin landscape, your favorite radio station. Ask for yours with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Rob, we heard from Anna in Milton, who says ever since moving to Wisconsin, WPR has been Anna's companion during the morning and afternoon commutes. After working from home during much of the pandemic, Anna realized just how important WPR was in their daily routine. And now that they're back to commuting every day, they felt it was time to give back and say, hey, thanks to the station who plays such an unexpectedly big role in Anna's life every day.
Glad we can be there with you, Anna. Thank you for listening. Thanks for giving. How about you? Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Now to insights on government accountability, transparency, the future of online privacy technologies with security consultant Chelsea Manning. Came into the public eye in 2010, intentionally sharing more than 700,000 government documents after being disillusioned by the Iraq War and what she called seeing two worlds, the contrast between life in Iraq and the U.S. And in 2017, President Obama commuted her prison sentence. Is leaking documents activism? Do you see that? Or is it a criminal act? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Chelsea Manning stays with us. Chelsea, you were jailed for contempt of court in 2019, fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for refusing to testify before a grand jury investigating WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. And if Assange loses that appeal, is extradited to the U.S., he too would face charges under the Espionage Act in connection to publishing secret government documents, the documents you gave him. So why not cooperate with investigators at this point?
Well, I mean, first off, we never actually found out whether or not the grand jury was specifically investigating that portion of the case. I just know that it was in relation to the leaks. However, the information that we had at the time, are you still there?
I'm still here. Yes.
I saw Mackenzie drop. Okay, so the information that the government has is forensic data. It's computer forensic data. I don't really have anything else to contribute. I already testified at my court martial. All this stuff has been litigated through and through. So a lot of this really had a lot to do, I feel like, with the sort of previous administration wanting to undo the Obama commutation and try to find a way so the grand jury portion, at least, was more specific to sort of me and my disposition here in the States. Now, as opposed to him in his case, I don't really follow that portion of the case. I don't really know a lot more than I've already disclosed through the court martial process. And then also a lot of the court martial material is still classified to this day, so I don't, as long as the U.S. is a functioning, you know, government, those classification, markings are still in effect, then, you know, I can't really speak to what I do know in that portion.
When you leaked the classified documents, Washington Post wasn't really interested. New York Times didn't call you back.
Correct.
What advice do you have for whistleblowers on going through media channels or going through WikiLeaks to disclose information?
Well, I mean, a lot of this is very 2010. Like the technology has changed. How we communicate with each other has changed. You know, the sort of what is known as the mass media has changed. So I think that a lot of these questions are kind of dated, right? You know, like we're in an era whenever information often gets out before, you know, long before these kinds of questions, you know, even come to light. Well, I think that the bigger questions that we have to deal with these days are how do we dispel misinformation from disinformation? How do we get active information from disinformation? Because I think one of the things that's happening is that we're so awash in information now. It's not that information is being hidden. It's that it's being obscured by three or four different angles and there's a sort of lack of verification, and you're sort of in a algorithmically generated bubble to where you can't tell what's real, like, you know, whether or not it's sort of COVID, whether it's not, it's sort of like information about you know, coronavirus or COVID or masking or vaccinations. Like, we're just sort of awash in information, and people are really overwhelmed by, you know, by all these different information sources. And it's really, how do we verify whether or not information is coming from a verifiable and credible source or not, as opposed to like whether or not it should be disclosed, because we're just so awash in it now.
Very quickly, what transgender rights issues do you want to see addressed? This is something very important to you.
Well, I think one of the issues is as a trans person is that, you know, we're constantly being debated about, and I personally just want to be left alone, because I am who I am, and I live the life that I live. I don't know why we're constantly being being discussed and things. There's not a whole lot of us, you know, there's not a whole lot of trans people, and I'm just sort of like really exhausted. And I do want to like encourage trans people to sort of, you know, get through the next few years, because, you know, as a lot of legislative, you know, sort of as a lot of sort of
legislation strong comes down,
yeah. Legislation comes down, you know, that really is just sort of punitive, like penalizes trans people
and Chelsea,
basically existing. Yeah,
we're out of time. Thank you for joining us. Okay. Chelsea Manning, online security consultant. News Update is next on the Ideas Network. It is the season for storytelling and learning from Native culture and elders' wisdom passed on from one generation to the next. We explore the significance of these stories with a member of the Lac des Flambeaux tribe on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. But first, let's check in on our winter member drive that is in full swing. I'm here with Rob Ferret, and we're here to say you rely on the Ideas Network for these informative, interesting discussions, and we rely on you to keep programs like The Morning Show going strong.
Listener support is the largest source of funding for Wisconsin public radio programs. That's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
How about today? Be one of the 300 people to help secure an additional $20,000 for WPR. So a group of generous members have created this challenge to inspire your support of the programs you and the entire community rely on.
Your participation is a big deal. You bring WPR one step closer to meeting this challenge. Give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In the last segment, we have been talking about government leaks, about classified information, and the future of whistleblowing in the world we live in. We had Chelsea Manning, and you never know. You just never know who will show up on The Morning Show, who you will get to talk to. These are the kinds of fascinating conversations that you have come to expect and count on from The Morning Show.
Wisconsin Public Radio is listener supported. That means that your donation makes these many topics and guests you tune in for every day possible. Choose the amount that works for you, then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Super easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine, like a cup of coffee, like a favorite sugary snack, Rob.
Why do you say my name like that? Yeah. No, I'm a fan.
Because you share them with me sometimes.
I do. Been a while, though.
I know.
Consider the news, information, inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. maybe that dollar a day, $30 a month, is just the right donation for you. Sign up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the programs that you enjoy every day.
I'm Bill from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
That's right. Give at WPR.org. Feel good about it. 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. Listener support. It is the biggest chunk of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And it's why your support during this winter member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
You support the things that make your life more meaningful. Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things. Here you get info about events in our region and around the world. Plus, you get music and humor and storytelling.
Storytelling that we're about to talk about. You'll want a lot of news and information all throughout your days, and your support now makes that possible. Make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 with your gift of the amount that's right for you.
And this member challenge today is still in effect. This is a special deal. What happens when 300 people make a gift for WPR? Current Wisconsin Public Radio members are going to kick in an extra $20,000. So we've got the day to do this, but we need to get off to a fantastic start right now.
We need to chip away at it right now. So ask for your 2022 WPR mug. How about when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations each and every day. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your very important gift right now. It takes just a few minutes of your morning. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support.
Now to First Nations, where storytelling is a sacred art form, wisdom passed on from elders to young people. And here in the winter season, where the natural world's dormancy and darkness lends more space to storytelling, how has Native American culture and storytelling enriched your life? For me, I know it was experiencing my very first powwow in the late 1970s and just feeling it through my eyes and ears. Join in. Your experience is welcome. 800-642-1234. Greg Biscakwane Johnson is an artist teacher and member of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. Greg, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Bonjour. Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. What does the winter season hold for you? How does it lend itself to storytelling?
Well, we go back generations. And so you look at the climate. And so our climate allows us to be closer together. We have this winter month we call, in Ojibwe, we call it Beboon. Now, Beboon is the season where everything's covered up by snow. And it's time we slow down, we spend more time with our families and our loved ones. And it's a time for passing on knowledge and storytelling. And so that's one of the ways that our people have done that for since the beginning of existence.
What advice do you have for parents, for grandparents, of getting children to sit still and to listen to oral storytelling and really think about the story and be reflective?
You know, one of the good things about storytelling is, you know, you're sharing your past and your history, and who are we without our past? What we need to do is we need to learn these stories, we need to learn this history, and that gives you a better in-depth look at who you really are and where you come from. A lot of our elders and a lot of our people have these stories of our past, and even our grandparents and great-grandparents, and so a lot of that knowledge is being maybe extinguished a little bit because of the internet, a lot of the oral the oral history and the oral knowledge that our families carry. And there's still some families that are hanging on to that. But my advice is, if you want to pass something on, you know, you have to get, especially if you want to get some of the younger generations in on some of the knowledge and history and storytelling, what you have to do is, I have a trick. We usually use a little bit of food. Food brings everybody together. So once you have that food and maybe a fire, you know, you have enough to get anybody's attention. So
some stories are difficult to hear about family members affected by the opioid crisis, battling addiction, perhaps very sick from COVID. How do you convey difficult stories, ones where loved ones are really hurting?
Well, in the past, you know, my grandmother, she was born around 1912. Her name was Helen, and she went through the depression. And so I think about her often when, you know, this whole pandemic started. And I know that everything will be okay because she had the tools to make it through. And, you know, and a lot of the people that were alive in those days that I see photos of in books and historical documents, she knew those people. So I'm only one person away from a lot of what she experienced. And so often if I'm faced with like a difficult task, or maybe, you know, I have something about that I want to experience with food preservation, whatever, I think about her stories. And that's kind of where I draw what I know from, is from listening to her all those years growing up. And like I said, you know, we're only one person away from something that happened very similar in the early 1900s.
How do you think the pandemic is affecting what stories are being told right now?
I think it's actually kind of like a blessing in disguise, because people are spending time together now. And, you know, people realize that these stories have important cultural significance. They show us how to slow down and how to take care of ourselves, and especially take care of one another. We've been doing these storytelling, weekly storytelling thing through the Wisconsin State Historical Society, and it's been online. And I believe at last count, they said there was 2,500 listeners at one point. And so every Tuesday evening, they hosted those for the past 4 weeks. And a lot of people are gaining interest in storytelling and the, you know, being home and being isolated. And it's a really interesting time, you know, but it takes, I guess it takes a pandemic to, you know, kind of get back to the way things were a long time ago. You know?
We're talking with Greg Biscoquine Johnson, artist, teacher, member of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa Indians, discussing the significance of storytelling. And you can join in. What role do stories, do arts, do crafts play in your life? And you can tell us about them and what they have done as you pass them on to the next generation. 800-642-1234. You've described seeing this resurgence in cultural exchange, especially early in the pandemic when everyone was so online, and seeing it more as a renaissance within Ojibwe artists by pivoting online. How did you make that transition? What do you see there?
Okay, well, before the pandemic had taken its foothold on everybody, I was already in the middle of offering these online classes where I teach craft making, you know. And you know, up here in the northern Wisconsin, we're no stranger to a long cold winter. And so that's kind of why I started what I started. I made these kits. I made moccasin making kits, and then I would ship them out to people, and then we'd get online and do them together. Well, this is prior to the pandemic. And so when the pandemic hit, I was already a few steps ahead of everybody. And so I continued to do this on a bigger scale, and we helped a lot of people through their depression, their anxiety, and the long winter, you know. And these are the tools that our ancestors gave us, you know. This isn't something that I came up with. This is actually something that our people have always done. But now we have the modern technology, you know. We have our computers, and we have our webcams, and we have our phones and our tablets that are allowing us to connect like we never did before.
Can you walk us through some of the steps of making these Ojibwe moccasins?
Absolutely. So last week I was up in Grand Marais, Minnesota. I was hired to come up and teach these Bibuni moccasins, which we call winter moccasins. And well, first you have to be a really good hunter if you want to tan a hide and make crafts. So we get the deer, we divvy up the meat with our hunting partners, and we tan the hides up traditionally, which requires smoke and the actual brain of the animal. And once you have that, then you you get your foot tracing of maybe a loved one. You get some cardstock and you trace their foot, and there's a certain type of pattern that you cut out of that cardstock. Then you put it on leather and trace that out. And then you make your vamp, which is your cuff, and your tongue, or your tongue and your cuff, and you bead those up. You might want to use velvet or wool, depending on who you're making them for. Wool lasts a little longer, and wool's more of a traditional kind of a pick since the 1700s. In our tribe. And so what we'll do is we'll cut those out, and we'll bead florals and flowers and animals and all these beautiful things that are important to the person we're making them for.
That sounds so beautiful. And you sew, and then you sew them together. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we sew them together, and then everything's sewn together inside out. And once we turn it inside, we reveal our work and how beautiful it is. And it's a labor of love. When you make something like this for somebody else, it's a labor of love. And, you put your time into something and you make it, it's handmade, and that's a part of your life. And actually what you're giving isn't just a pair of moccasins, it's a part of your life. And that's what we look at.
Are you wearing a pair right now?
No, but I have my daughter's pair sitting in front of me right now. So
what is the design on it, may I ask? What is on
it? Yeah, she has this, I beaded her her name in the back. Her name is Wasanode, which actually translates to Northern Lights in our Ojibwe language. And I made these for her when she was probably about 5 years old. And so they're small. They have a little pink flower on them with a yellow center. And they have her name beaded in a very really nice scripty font. And so they're made with black velvet and a very old antique pink and yellow beads.
She's going to cherish those forever.
Yeah, she loves them. We hang them up in our house, and we have them on display. And it reminds us of when our babies were young and wonderful and sweet.
What would your grandmother tell us about this pandemic? Your grandmother, who is, just a generation away, what would she tell us?
I believe she would have told us to, hang in there, rely on the skills of our people, because she preserved all her food. She riced, she trapped, she did a lot of those things that that people are trying to search for today. Self-sufficiency. She had a big garden. She grew her own foods, and she'd say, just continue to do that. Once you do that, it's like printing money, you're going to be okay. Those are the free gifts of life. Those are living off the land. She could make something from nothing, and that's kind of what we're getting back to. And I think this is giving us a reality check. Everybody here, we all are experiencing a form of resurgence in our own lineage. A lot of people are,
Well, Greg, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
Greg Biscaquene Johnson is an artist, a teacher, and a member of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Hope you can stick around next hour when we make sense of the economy with NPR's Planet Money. And then later in the hour, Governor Evers stops by here on The Morning Show. Lots in store. First, let's turn our attention to the WPR Winter Member Drive that is moving right along. I'm here with Rob Ferret, and your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. And in fact, it's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for WPR programs. And this drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or 888 202-252.
Today is a big day in this drive. You can make an even greater impact with your gift right now when you and 299 of your fellow listeners make a gift for the programs you count on. You'll help secure $20,000 for Wisconsin Public Radio. That's coming from a group of generous members.
That's right. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting the WPR programs that inform you, that inspire you, and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Do it now. Be one of the 300 people to meet this challenge. We're already 15 into that challenge. You can get us another step on the way. It all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've been just talking about the presence of Native American storytelling, the power of stories and how they move us and what they mean to us, with a member of the Lac des Flambeaux tribe. You know, just reflecting on the world around us, finder deeper meaning. That's what we do here on The Morning Show. These are the kinds of conversations you can count on from The Morning Show.
These are some of my favorite moments on The Morning Show and Larry Mueller Show on Central Time, where we get to meet people from all over Wisconsin, all different backgrounds, walks of life, telling us about the interesting things that make Wisconsin a special place. Mm. You appreciate that, I think. That's why you listen. Well, listen to this. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener supported. That means that when you give, you make those conversations possible. You could do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Choose an amount that works for you. Make your gift. And WPR pairs well with a morning cup of coffee or an afternoon tea like Rob and I have. And this member drive, enjoy your favorite hot beverage and show off your support for your favorite public radio station. Ask for the 2022 WPR mug when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Now let's admit it, sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I spent money at a silent auction thinking I wouldn't win, and I did, and I won art that was honestly a little creepy.
From creepy art to lemon cars, we've all made questionable decisions about how we spend our money. So it might be time to make a few smart ones. You can start by supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR. So make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That's right. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret, and it's your support during this winter member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible each day. So your gift that you set at $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Today, be one of the 300 people to help secure an additional $20,000 from WPR. That's coming from this group of generous members of Wisconsin Public Radio. They're already members. They're already giving. They know how good it feels. And they want you to know how good it feels to support the programs you and your entire community count on.
And your participation is vital. You bring WPR one step closer to meeting this challenge. So give now. Get in on the challenge. Any amount makes a difference right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our world can feel like it's getting more complex all the time. You count on Wisconsin Public Radio to turn complicated issues and the news of the day into understandable language so you know how these things are going to affect you.
So for you to get programs that are relevant to your life, to your world, we rely on your financial support, your giving, and it is the largest source of our funding. And that's why we ask that if you've never given before, make that first ever contribution now. Say $10, $20 a month during this winter member drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today's member challenge is still in effect when 300 people make a gift for Wisconsin Public Radio today. will get $20,000 extra dollars from generous members. That's going to support the WPR programs that keep you informed and inspired.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose to up it, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Grab the new mug this drive. Enjoy your favorite hot beverage in the 2022 WPR mug. Give $10 a month or more and ask for it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Shout out to Peter in Argyle, says, I always love something great on WPR. Peter, thank you so much. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support.